Israel has completed its pullout from Gaza, a piece of territory it has controlled since 1967. Is this the start of a final road to peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis, or will it be a futile gesture that leaves Israel vulnerable to further terrorist attacks? You're listening to Longitude. It's Friday, August 26, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. By now, we have watched the scenes of Israeli defense forces evacuating fellow Israelis from their homes in what is called the Gaza Strip, a narrow piece of land in southwest Israel bordering the Mediterranean Ocean. In February, the Israeli government voted to implement Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's plan for unilateral disengagement from the Gaza Strip. That plan required the dismantling of all Israeli settlements there and the removal of all Israeli settlers and military bases from the Strip. Israel has made a calculated decision to withdraw from territory they know is not defensible. There is no expectation of concessions from the Palestinians. The current Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, has nothing to offer in return for the Gaza. What Israel hopes for is a more manageable border, one with walls and security that will keep the terrorists out. They're prepared for a long wait, either for a Palestinian leader who sincerely wants peace to step forward, or for other nations to put pressure on the Arab world to accept Israel and decide to wage peace instead of war. It could be a long wait. Already there are calls in the Western press for Israel to give up land on the West Bank and even Jerusalem. But can Israel afford to give up any more land? Israel cannot be expected to make further wrenching withdrawals if the message from the international community is that they are never enough, and Palestine will have no hope of becoming a functional and civilized state if no serious demands are made of it to reform its institutions and eliminate its culture of terrorism. The problem with Palestine today isn't the absence of land, but the poverty of expectations as to what it ought to be and might become. The Arab cause has been hampered by poor leadership. Gaza profited from the presence of Israeli settlement. There were small factory jobs and agricultural farms that provided better incomes and a possibility for the future, something no Palestinian government has done. When Yasser Arafat returned to Palestine in 1994, he radicalized the base, and hopes for a peaceful future were set back. Now there is the problem of terrorist attacks from Gaza. There will be no Israeli forces present to stop the gathering and deployment of terrorist operations. The Arabs have rockets and will launch them against Israel. No wall built by Israel will stop these rockets. Israel will have to determine how they will meet this challenge. The record of recent history shows the Palestinians will not honor the treaty commitments that they have made before the world. Since the signings of the Oslo Accords in 1993, no serious attempt to curb terrorist attacks have been made by the leadership of the Palestinian Authority. Columnist Charles Krauthammer tells what the last 12 years has brought. Quote, under Oslo, he writes, Israel made massive, near-suicidal concessions, bringing the PLO back to life, installing Yasser Arafat in power in the West Bank and Gaza, and permitting him to arm militia after militia, and ultimately offering him at Camp David in 2000 the first Palestinian state in history with a shared Jerusalem and total Israeli withdrawal from the 95% of the formerly occupied territories, with Israel giving up some of its own territory to make the Palestinians whole. How were these concessions met? With a savage terror that killed 1,000 Israelis and maimed thousands more. Israeli withdrawal is correct and necessary. This is what he wrote on August 19, 2005. The Palestinian leadership is on record as saying, we will not rest until they leave from our land. Now, what they mean by our land is all the land once governed by the British prior to 1948 when the State of Israel was declared. Leaders of this type usually say what they mean and mean what they say. You know, it's a strange quirk of human nature that wants to ignore such statements and blissfully hope they forget, or they really don't mean what they say. History is littered with such incidents. Does anyone really think the Jews of Israel will get on their boats and return to Eastern Europe, subjecting themselves to the promises of another nation? I don't think so. Who will promise the security of the Jews and Israel? Since 1948, America has been Israel's biggest supporter in matters economic, political, and diplomatic. This support has not come without cost. Much of the enmity in the Arab world toward the United States today is due to its support of Israel. Other nations, such as China and Russia, have been major supporters of Arab nations as a counter to American supremacy in the post-World War II years. The question is, will America continue to support Israel in the face of growing international pressure from Europe, Russia, and China to provide a state for Palestine at any cost. America's role in the Middle East will come under increasing scrutiny in the coming months as the war in Iraq evolves to another phase. The fledgling Iraqi government tries to put together a constitution while it battles a growing insurgency. Things are far from settled in this nation. Any number of other unexpected turns could arise in this volatile and critical region to create a new set of events. I doubt Israel will have the luxury of waiting behind its fortress for peace to break out. Israel has done things in recent weeks that no one could have imagined just a few years ago. In the strange and twisting region of the Middle East politics, sometimes the unimaginable becomes the reality. If you've not read our booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy, which is available online here at WNP Online, or a free copy can be sent to you by making a literature request off of our WNPOnline.org site, I encourage you to do so. It's available online, and as I said, you can obtain a hard copy of it. This booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy, will give you more of the background to this subject, and it's an increasingly important one in our world today. It's background that you need to have a complete grasp of this complex subject. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.